Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That little cat can catch me every time. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. The National Black Unity News is a solution-oriented publication designed by us, and it's for us, and it's by us. And we put out solution-oriented information in our publication. You know, there's over 200 black newspapers across this nation, and they deal with the daily issues and stuff. But we design our publication so that it will be a different type of story. The information that we put in our publication is good for today, yesterday, as well as tomorrow. So you can always use the information that you're going to receive from the National Black Unity News. And we have a host of fantastic people who has come together for the sole purpose of uplifting us as a people. Now, when I say uplifting us, that don't mean I'm putting down anybody. We do not put down any group or race of people. But we also know in this here United States of America and across out throughout the diaspora as well, that the playing field has not been equal. And that's why God always raises up individuals like myself and you so that we can combat the ills of this world. And we get in how would you say we'll be fitting. God bless many of us with special tools and talents that if you use them, it will make a way not only for yourself but for us as well. And so, again, we want to welcome those who are on the panel with us this evening. And also, we would like to welcome those who are on Blog Talk Radio. We also would like to welcome those on Facebook Live and our other formats. And so we are simulcasting this this broadcast. And it's not rehearsed. We don't really plan it that much. We go by what daily. And I want to make sure, make this publicly clear. This broadcast is not is by the National Black Unity News, but it's separate from our other podcast that comes on tomorrow night at 7:30. That's our business meeting podcast where we introduce one another as editors. We also if somebody could mute themselves, okay? Excuse me, but, you know, can you unmute yourself? Because we can hear you very clearly when you're speaking on the side, so I'm going to try to do it from my end. But, again, welcome everybody to the National Black Unity North. As I was saying, the tomorrow night call is hosted by Ms. Kathleen Murphy. It comes on at 7:30, and we discuss the news about the National Black Unity News. We also highlight some of the editors in the publication. We also let you know where we've been and where we've gone and how you can get involved with this fantastic publication. Because this is a publication, you know, we talk about things like we're going to do on this show tonight, but we are actually taking action. You know, we are not just, you know, sitting about complaining about this and about that, but we actually have a plan, a divine inspired play. And thus far, we have reached a multitude of people with a multitude of services, with a multitude of individuals who really care about us. But before we get started and discuss, I would like to turn the call over to my good friend, my co-host, a longtime soldier, Brother Satawi Jahi. You got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. As we do each and every time we come on these airways, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, and he's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, and that's a very, very good book. I suggest everybody under the sound of my voice that if you don't have a copy of that book, pick it up, because we need to make sure that we're working on obtaining wealth for future generations, especially our families. That's one of the things that we really need to focus on. So the reading for today goes like this. Health food. When it comes to food for thought, some of us are on a hunger strike. And that's written, that quote is from Baba Dick Gregory, who was a longtime activist and also now who's an ancestor. And the reading for today goes like this. Your mind is extraordinarily complex. yet it works in a simple three-step manner. First, it takes in information, what you see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. Second, it processes this data. How does this information relate to me? Third, after processing the information, your brain tells you what action to take in building a life of success or failure. Your mind takes in information, processes it, and then tells you what to do. A cliche of modern times is garbage in, garbage out. In other words, if incorrect or bad data absorb garbage, the processed information will be misleading. As a result of the action taken on the processed data will also be incorrect or garbage. A woman walked into a bookstore one day to buy a computer guide. When asked what type of handbook she wanted, she carefully replied, "Oh, just anything, any book will do." So the clerk handed her an outdated manual. She rapidly flipped through the text and then said, "This looks good, I'll take it." Half an hour later, the same woman arrived at a meat market and demanded prime rib. She scornfully refused the first cut as well as the second, insisting upon the best that you have. When she finally received the most expensive cut, she announced, "I'm peculiar about what I eat." How unfortunate that so many people feed their bodies with the best that money can buy, but while their minds get on just any old thing. Start a health food diet by feeding your mind healthy, uplifting thoughts. "Today I will be very peculiar about what I feed my mind." It's important that we do feed our minds so that, you know, that we're constantly thinking. My mind stays in overdrive. And, you know, our next topic is about buck breaking, our mental health, and the things that can cause us to make bad decisions. And the reason we wanted to discuss this tonight, some of you might be familiar with the brother of the Golden State Warriors, Andrew Wiggins, who initially came out apply for not taking the vaccine. He wasn't going to take it because of religious reasons, and but they finally got him to take the vaccine. And you know, there's a lot of talk and discussion about that. His teammate said, you know, in a couple of the interviews that his teammates did, especially Draymond Green and Steve Carey, they said it was his decision. It was personal. I mean, Draymond said, "If I wouldn't advise him to get the polio vaccine, it's not my place to tell him whether to get this vaccine or don't get this vaccine." So, you know, and because what San Francisco did, they passed a law saying that in any indoor event that you come to, you must be fully vaccinated. And being a player, you know, he'd have to be at that event. And it was a thing that was interesting about when he got interviewed about, you know, why he decided to go ahead and take the vaccine. He still said it's none of your business, whatever he initially said. And really, you know, it is nobody's business but your own. It's your personal choice that you need to decide. You need to weigh all the facts and then decide what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And fortunately or unfortunately, you know, he buckled in, or some people say they buck-breaked him. And buck-breaking goes back to during the days of slavery when the master would do is he'd take a male and strip him in front of all of the other people on the plantation and then sodomize him. And this went on, especially initially was introduced on the plantations in the West Indies, where, you know, buck breaking was a form of really one of the most brutal treatments of our ancestors in terms of slavery. And so, you know, that's where that term comes from in terms of buck breaking. And so you know, they buck broke him, you know, because they told him how much money he was going to lose. So, you know, because he would have had, if he had set out 41 home games, you know, then, you know, he wouldn't have been able to be paid for those games because the NBA said, you know, if you miss any games because you're not vaccinated, that, you know, you cannot be paid for those games. So, you know, so they economically put things in front of him to, you know, tamper his mental decision on whether to go right or go left or whatever. But, you know, that had a lot to do with him deciding to go ahead and submit and get the vaccine. Initially, I was hoping that he wasn't going to do that. I was hoping that he'd been able to set the precedent, people who don't want to get vaccinated, to say, you know, for religious purposes, I choose not to have that put in my body, because that is the stance that I took and the stance that my wife has taken. And so, you know, but we're not in that position of a celebrity where they can take something from us that could really impact us in big kind of ways. So that's my take on that, David, and I'll turn it back over to you, sir.
Okay, I appreciate that. Before I, you know, open up this discussion, but I want to acknowledge a few people, because there's one gentleman, and I hope he didn't just go out that quickly. He's still there. Bishop Sule from out of Louisiana. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, I am doing great, David. It's good to be back. I've been away for a while, and I'm still on the front line.
Yes, sir. I know you are. I know it's a lot down there. Matter of fact, it's work all over, but I know that you always been on the front line. And I appreciate it. I just want to acknowledge you. And there's a couple of new people that's that are editors in the National Black Unity News. I want to acknowledge as well. You know, I do this because those who know me, I consider myself the servant of servants. This is what I do. I serve people. I serve individuals like yourselves, because you are the true visionaries. You are the true people that's out there on the front line. And God has blessed me with the tools to assist people like you, to help you go to where you want to get to. And that's an honor and a privilege to be serving in that manner. And I also want to welcome Ruth Ministry, Prophetess Smith, and Pastor Bradley. Do I have that correct, sir?
Brad Ford.
I know I was in the neighborhood.
Okay, good.
But I'm welcome to the both of you. And just, if you just, you know, just a word or two, just, you know, I just want to welcome you to the fold, because they have a powerful ministry and they're helping people, and that's what we're all about. So again, I just want to acknowledge you, and you can chime in on this conversation as we go along. And before, there's another young lady on here that's a new editor in the publication. See, God is blessing us, and we are definitely growing. And Mariana Smith. How you doing? I hope I got your name right. And you kind of muted. I can't hear you, but welcome to the call and welcome to the family. She brings a lot of professional information to us in the financial arena, you know, purchasing real estate, what you call it, all types of properties from A to Z. And so we welcome her as well. And then we also have from Connecticut, Miss Robin McKinley, who works with Mr. Joe Young, who just recently came on board with us, who has a fantastic, I mean, not only do they produce movies and everything, they got two new cartoon books, probably comic books, what we used to call them. And they positive, though. You know, they say they give bringing out good news, you know, and good stuff that our children should be reading. And they do all types of wonderful things. So welcome to the call. And I also like to, our editor and chief, my brother Bill Gooden, who's a co-owner of the National Black Unity News. And we have Dr. Y.T. Smith with us, who's the editor of the National Black Unity News. We also have Mr. Leroy McKenzie, who does the book, the book service is in our publication. That ain't what we call it, but see, I'm getting up there in age, so, you know, I ain't quick as I used to be, but he know who he is and what he does, but he promotes the books in our publication. He has been together since we started. It's been literally over hundreds of books that has been promoted through the National Black Unity News, thanks to this brother. And we also have one of my brothers from out of South North Carolina, Mr. Michael Thomas, who has a wonderful program called 1,000 Great Minds, who has a strong economical piece that can unite us nationwide so that we can build our own homes, have our own homes, be financially independent, a powerful program. And then we have my brother, who I think is one of the most, how would you say, I know he ain't gonna like this too much, but I think he's one of the sharpest brothers on this planet. I really do. You know, he's just so down to earth, but he's very knowledgeable about a lot of things. And so if I miss anybody, I will get you. And my brother Vernon Streeter, who is our event coordinator, he also has his own TV station, Unity TV. And this is just a small group of us, a very small group of out of the whole team. See, God has put together a multitude of people, soldiers, proven people who have stood the test of time, who has come together, and we bring out this publication, this collaboration called the National Black Unity News. And so, I'm a truly blessed man to be in the midst of all of this education, this vastness of knowledge and wisdom. And so, you know, it's a privilege. But this discussion tonight, you know, me and Brother Satav, we don't sit around and plan, you know, a lot of things. I know it's good to do that, but sometimes we like to be spontaneous about a lot of things. We like to keep it real as well. And sometimes we get deep. Like I say, this is not the way the publication goes. This is the way we go as individuals. And as myself personally, I've been on the battlefield for a multitude of years. And I might say I had the battle scars to prove it. And, you know, and so if you're a soldier, you're going to get wounded here and there. You know, you're going to get scraped up some. But, you know, like I said, it's a privilege because God has put it on my heart to be a servant to you, to our people, because I even came up in discrimination. I've seen what discrimination has done to my father. And you speaking of buck breaking, that would be a what you call a terminology, exactly what happened to my father. You see, my father came from North Carolina, a little place called Whiteville, North Carolina. And he did a period in the military, and he left there with honors. But he also had 2.5 years of college. Now, my father came to Baltimore in the early, you know, mid-40s. And with 2.5 years of college, that's almost like a doctor. You know, most people didn't even finish high school in those days, you know, let alone go to, you know, get to high school. But my father was a very educated man. And he'd come to that, and he was a Renaissance man. You know, of course, he came from the farm. He knew how to plant. He knew how to build things. He was good. He's a Renaissance. He could do just about everything, do it all. And he come to Baltimore, think he's going to conquer the world. And with his education, you know what they had him doing on the job that he went to? And he had 7 or 8, at that time, he only had about 5 or 6 children, but he ended up with 8 children, 9 of us, really. And they had him cleaning out toilets. They had him sweeping floors. They was calling him boys. And they paid him the minimum amount of money they could. And he had to come home with all of those children he had to take care of. And my mother had them during the time. A lot of women didn't work during the time. So mom stayed home and took care of us. And so he had a lot of weight on his shoulders. And I know he had a lot of ambition. But because he told me later, he and I sit down and had some real long talks. Told me the heartbreak that he felt. Because he ended up being an alcoholic. And he died that way. Dreams unfulfilled. And so, you know, and so they broke my father. Or you could say on the flip side that he was weak, he gave in. Or you could just say that you don't know what a person goes through until you walk into his shoes. See, you don't know what a person can take and what can. Some people are built a little stronger than others. You know, some people mental capacity is more, you know, is more advanced than others. But even myself, you know, in my upbringing, and I thought, I said to myself, I would never end up like my father. But guess what? I became a teenage alcoholic myself. I was going to school in the seventh grade. I got put out in the seventh grade. That's why the extent of my education was the seventh grade. But I went back later on and got a GED, but I have a lot of street knowledge. I'm a doctor in that because I had to come up in there. And I had great teachers. Most of the people I kind of palled around with were 10, 12 years older than me. I always was the youngest in the bunch. And but in any case, to make a long story short, society can weigh on you so much. It can weigh you down even as a child. I seen when I moved into this place up here in Baltimore, it's a place called Edmondson Village. And we moved up here in the area of 1961. I was 11 years old. And it was a predominantly white community at the time. And of course they didn't want us there. So we literally had to fight and to be subjected to all kinds of unsavory words, put it that way. And people, you know, I hear my father talking about how he used to walk a mile and a half, 2 miles to school, but I literally had to walk a mile and a half to school. I had to walk through a gauntlet of people who didn't want me in their community as a child. And they would call us all kinds. We had to run through the alleys and all that just to get to a school bus, then go further out. That mile and a half was just to get you to the school bus, then go out there further out into the community. When I got out there, they was protesting, grown white folks protesting us. And at the age of 11, I could not understand why so many people were so angry with me. I just couldn't, you know, what did I do to get that type of reaction from people? And I wasn't a bad child, mischievous child. I thought I was a pretty nice child. I really did. And because I wouldn't do nothing. I was always the type of child in the neighborhood. If you see somebody picking on somebody, I was always on the side of the person that was being taken advantage of. I would be that one who would pile up with them or stand with them. But still, and though there's a lot of faith, God-fearing people on this call right now, you see, I even blame your God for why would God allow a child like me to go through something like that? So I had a lot of questions out there. But in any case, when I got to the school and I had to sit in the classroom with these certain type of children, and they were well-dressed and this, that, you know, of course, I come from the hood. You know, we four of us used to sleep in the bed together. You know, we had what you call hand-me-down clothes. The older one passed the clothes down to the next one. That's how we survived back in those days. And and they wasn't the best of clothes. They was tattered here and there, you know, but we, you know, mom and them did the best they could with what they had. But in any case, my self-esteem ended up, that's when I start being broken. My self-esteem was very low. And even in my time, I tell y'all this all the time, even in my time in media, that's the format that I use right now. That's my area of expertise, media. But even in media, I didn't see any black people. Every once in a while, you see a black person on television, and that was a major event in the neighborhood. You know, people run them down the street, black person on television. But those who have television, and we would gather to somebody else who had a television and was only very few. But in any case, that's the kind of conditions I came up to. And so to make a long story short, ladies and gentlemen, during that summer when I graduated out of that sixth grade and going into the seventh grade, we had to pile around the older guys, the younger guys, you know, the guys 19, 18, 20 that was moving up in that area. We all had to pile around for our own safety, you know, because that way when they attacked us, these would be a group of us, we could fight back, in which we did. But we became good friends, and I picked up some bad habits, you know, back in our time in, you know, Baltimore and most black communities or cities. You know, guys used to like to drink wine and sing, you know, do that little doo-wop thing back in the day. And that's what these guys were doing. They would drink their wine and sing some old songs and stuff and pass the bottle around. And I said I would never do it. But my self-esteem was so beat up, and I took one sip of that stuff. And then something happened. It made me feel different. It brought some stuff within me that was so dormant. at the time that I am somebody. I do belong. You know, that's what it made me feel. And I like that feeling. That versus being depressed, why, what's wrong with me attitude. And so I start taking this drink, this wine, they say, and I partook of it quite a bit. It got to the point I couldn't function without. I didn't want to. I went to school with it because it just made me feel better. But that's to make a long story short. See, you can be broken as a child. And unfortunately, a lot of us, that's why we did not invite on this call to be the, you know, sometimes we have guests supposed to be experts in certain fields. And that's why we didn't bring nobody who was maybe say in the mental health area or a professor or somebody in that. Or you know, because I just want to have an honest, open discussion because, you know, anybody can be broken. But I'm going to tell you one thing. This I do know by me being in media. And see, media is a strong extension of propaganda. And see, propaganda, what they do, that they do that to influence your mind, your way of thinking, your way of acting, your way of being. What's in, what's out, what's up, and what's down. People don't realize in a day's time, I mean, right now to this day, you'll be bombarded even with your cell phone, even with this format, even with Facebook and everything else. That even time you get in the car, you turn the radio on, get a TV or high, all of those subliminal messages is penetrating your thoughts in your mind. And that's why the words say guard your mind sometimes. You have to be careful what you let in there. Even it's subconscious. You think you may not be paying attention, but that stuff, you know, it gets there. And I used to like to use this analogy, and then I'm going to open up this discussion. I remember years ago, you know, when I was studying media, they were saying that the influencer, they say even you could take, they used to do it in the movie theaters. They would take one little frame of popcorn or salt or something, or soda. This one clip while the movie's playing, you know, your eyes can't even catch it, but your subconscious mind can. Your mind just don't even catch it. You see the whole movie. But you seen a popcorn has flashed across that screen. You didn't went anywhere. Do you know about 15, 20, 30% of the people get up and start and would go buy whatever that went across that screen, would go to that counter and buy popcorn or soda or something. That's just that one little clip. Now, can you imagine what a whole day for a lifetime full of subliminal message? Can you imagine in our case, because everybody on here is black melanated people, can you imagine a lifetime images coming to you saying you're not this, you're below, you're not even an average citizen. You know, they here and you down here. And even not only from outside, but from within, your own family member. Don't do this. You can't do that. Watch out for this. And, this, and you ask them, why, you know, why? Because I say so. That kind of answer we used to get. And you wonder why we mischievous, you know, those who are, you know, have those actors' minds, we go out there and do it anyway and we get hurt sometimes because nobody explains why we shouldn't do it. And so we go out there and do it. And then especially young black boys, we were told not to cry. We don't supposed to have feelings. You know, we don't supposed to care. We supposed to be tough, man up. You know, and this, that, you know. And so all of these little subliminal messages coming to us, and you wonder why we're in the state of mind that we're in. And only, I think, and this is my take on it, you know, I could be wrong, but only by the grace of God, because there's a passage, and I don't profess to know, that dot every I and cross the T and know every scripture, but it does say, you know, it does say guard your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. You know, but God also said that he can renew your mind. You know, he can make you brand new. And I find that to be true because, you know, when you think a certain way, you act a certain way. And when you feel a certain way, you do the same thing as that as well. So in any case, I done rambled on long enough. And first and foremost, again, I want to welcome each and every one of you on the podcast this evening. Now, this is a serious subject matter. And I know a lot of people don't like the title because we say buck breaking, but, you know, by me being in media, it gets people attention. You know, it brings out our curiosities about what is this going to be about. in this day and time in media, broadcasting, propaganda, swaying, and I tell you, we own less than 1% of media. You can take radio, TV, you put them all together, podcast, we still own less than 1%. And so therefore, all those messages that pretty much we hear come from outside sources. And most of the time, those sources don't mean us well. And so with all of this stuff going on, you are the people on here right now that I see right here on this podcast right now. As I say, I surround myself with some positive people. So, you know, I'm kind of guarded, but the average person don't have this luxury to be around people like you all the time. Most of the people have to fend for themselves. Most people have to survive. They don't have nobody. As a matter of fact, you know, because they don't know who to go to or where to go. Because it seemed like most all of their life when they went to certain places, it wasn't, you know, set up for them. Even the things that we call schools, even the things we call religion sometimes has been broken. They say they teach us what we should teach others. They indoctrinate us with their way of believing, their way of thought, their way of thinking. They let you know what your position in life is based on my analogy of my coming up, my upbringing. It was very few people that really sit me down and I thought gave me some real factual information that can help me. But I mean, as far as this system is concerned, it's a great system if you would put it against what goes on globally. But I might add, if you look at the world and the state that it is and the state that it has been in, there's not a lot of good people out there. It's a lot of countries, you know, we got it way better than a lot of countries out there. I mean, we sitting on top of the hill when it comes to other countries. You know, the poor of our poor probably is rich to you if you take them and, compare them to some other countries in their situation. Still, that don't make it right. It don't make it right if you're powerful or you have money or that you should take advantage of your fellow man. But in this world, if you're going to face facts, you're going to face reality, it is what it is. And so I always like to open up with my brother because he kind of always, because this is the way I feel. But Brother Cliff, you know I'm pick on you. You know, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Hey, Brother David, this is Bishop Soulet.
Yes,
I got to
run
because I slept the day. This is my 32nd anniversary, and I got to get home. But I committed to being here, and I did not want to break that commitment to you.
Okay, let me do this then.
I want to stay on topic. I don't want to do anything new. I want to share. I hear what Brother Satawa is saying. And I want to share about this topic because this is really, really critical.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
And I do understand buck breaking, and it still happens today. As you said, your father experienced it, and my father experienced it in the military where they tried to hang him with a treason charge. But here's the other side of the coin that we may not be aware of. And that's because I'm a former basketball player, okay? And when you are a basketball player, you are part of a team. And you have an integral role in the team. And the team's goal is to win a championship. And I'm not saying what Brother Satawa was saying didn't happen, but what I'm also saying is this. Maybe, you know, Andrew listened to his teammates and they said, hey, man, we need you. If we're going to make a run to win this championship, we need you. We can't work. We can't do it without you. So maybe he caved in for his teammates for the greater good. Okay? Because when you play a sport, it takes everybody. to accomplish the goal. And so, you know, that could be another perspective. But make no doubt about it, butt breaking still happens today in America. And not just in this COVID relationship. If you look at corporate America and what we have to do as black people to get to that level, we have to deny our blackness. And I've heard people who got to that sea level, and you know what they say? I don't know what's wrong with them people.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You was them people. Now you got six figure, seven figure salary. You ain't black no more.
I'm so not laughing at that, but I recall.
But butt breaking still occurs in many forms and situations today in society, and you know, it's what you said. You know, it's, you know, who you are and who you were raised to be, and if you believed in that. And so I was raised by a military dad. And my military dad taught me that I could be anything that I wanted to be. So it didn't matter what society said, because my dad had the final word in my life. And that's the power of having, you know, a dad in your life. And today's society, you know, we have a situation where some people think women, I can be the dad and the mom. Oh, hell no, you can't. Excuse my French. Okay? Because a woman is there to nurture and to support. A dad is there to give discipline and direction. And so I'm getting a little bit off topic, but I want to go back to maybe he caved in to support his teammates who are trying to win a championship.
I can see that, because that's what you know, my father did. He caged in because he had to support his family. You know, he could have walked away and this, that, but then how was he going to feed us? You know, so that's a terrible situation to be in. You know, that's the choice of two evils, so to speak. But,
yeah, but I gotta run. I gotta run unless I'm going to be in the doghouse with my missus.
All right, sir.
But I'll be back. I'll be back, okay?
All right, sir. Always a pleasure.
But thank you. And God bless all of you. This is powerful. We need to really continue the work that all of you are doing. It's a great work.
That's right. All right, thank you, sir.
It's a great work. All right.
Happy anniversary to you, too, sir. All right. Brother Cliff, back to you, sir. What say you on this subject matter on buck breaking and how it was yesterday, today, and what's the plan for tomorrow? I know that's a lot, but I know you can handle it.
Okay. First of all, can everybody hear? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, good. I'm trying something slightly different with my computer, so as a sort of a dress rehearsal for something I'm going to try later in the year. I wanted to make sure this worked. I guess buck breaking as a subject, it's a pretty broad kind of thing. I'm actually glad that Bishop Soule, I believe his name was, spoke earlier, because when he brought up, I assume he was talking about Andrew Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors. And
yes,
I remember reading a little bit about his case where he was supposedly saying he was going to cite a religious exemption. I'm not sure whether he was really citing a religious exemption or whether he was just kind of using that to not get a vaccine, because of the same reason why a lot of us are suspicious of vaccines. Like Nicki Minaj used the supposed tweet about her cousin's friend's issue from allegedly having taken the vaccine. And I'm not sure whether, I don't think she was able to necessarily prove that that was what caused that particular problem. But it seemed that that was just something that helped to reinforce her desire to essentially opt out of of taking the vaccine. Now, she realizes after a while, perhaps, that she's not going to be able to tour in certain places simply because of the fact that not vaccinated could potentially make her more susceptible and more infectious. Then, in that case, she might decide to go on ahead and take the vaccine. Andrew Wiggins realized that he wasn't going to be able to play in at least half of the games that the Golden State Warriors were playing, sort of like Kyrie Irving's situation with the New Jersey Nets. The Nets are saying, if you're not vaccinated, you can't come into our arena. And so now there's a question as to whether or not Kyrie Irving is going to miss half of the games that the New Jersey Nets are playing simply because of the fact that he won't get vaccinated. That brings up the question as to what is his real reason for not wanting to get vaccinated. Is it really a religious exemption? Is it because of some facts that he is aware of? Or is it because he happened to look at just enough anti-vax websites to convince him that maybe he shouldn't be fooling with vaccinations? I don't know. The thing I find kind of curious as far as at least the whole anti-vax issue is concerned, and I'm not going to tell someone that they should get the vaccination or they should not get the vaccination. I think that at the moment I'm still of the opinion that's up to each individual as far as what they feel they can afford to do. But a lot of people who are saying, I'm not going to take a vaccination, are doing it because they saw a YouTube video. They're saying, well, I did my research, and their research involved a 30-minute Google search. So now their 30-minute Google search, that video, that YouTube video that they saw, which oftentimes comes from a website called America's Frontline Doctors, which is a right-wing medical organization funded by the Tea Party patriots who have absolutely no love for people of African descent at all and are huge Trumpites who would love to see fascism come back to the country. Those sources are more credible than someone who went pre-med for 4 years, went to med school for 4 more years, did a residency for several years after that, swore on the Hippocratic Oath, or it really should be the Imhotep Oath, swore on all these oaths and everything, did their residency, got specialties in virology, epidemiology, and infectious disease. Those people are not to be listened to. But a pediatrician or an ophthalmologist who's aligned with America's Frontline Doctors, they should be listened to because they put a YouTube video up. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to have brain surgery, I don't want an orthopedist doing it. I don't want an ophthalmologist doing it. I don't want a pediatrician doing it. I want a brain surgeon doing it. If I want advice on how to deal with an infectious disease, I want someone who understands epidemiology to do it. At least someone who knows enough about cell biology to know that messenger RNA does not change your DNA. I learned that in college 40 years ago. Messenger RNA takes orders from DNA. It's not the other way around. The only thing that rewrites your DNA is a retrovirus like HIV. Now, if you think they're going to inject HIV into your thing, then that's another thing. But that's one thing. So I'm not sure whether Andrew Wiggins' case necessarily qualifies as one of buck breaking or whether it was simply one where, okay, either he listened to enough people who understand what's going on to finally decide, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and protect myself and my teammates. Or maybe he just decided, as the bishop was sort of saying, maybe my teammates are more important than my personal opinion. Maybe my paycheck is more important, which makes one wonder just how strong their convictions were in the first place. Now, on the regular overall thing about buck breaking, I consider there are three ways that buck breaking has occurred throughout history. They either try to break you politically / morally, or they try to break you psychologically / spiritually, or they try to break your body. Now, Elder Murphy, with your father's situation, they saw the way to break him was to try to break his spirit. So that's what they went for. They went to break his spirit because they figured if they can break his spirit, then he's not going to cause any more trouble. They tried to break Dr. King's spirit. They tried to break his politics. That didn't work. They tried to break his spirit. That didn't work. So they had to break his body. Same with Malcolm. What I see happening a lot today, though, is I think the spiritual breaking is sort of like put on automatic, A lot of the systems do that, but a lot of the targeted buck breaking that occurs, I'm beginning to think is more political slash moral. If you take a look at what a lot of these right-wing organizations in the United States are doing right now, I just saw something about that earlier today on television. A lot of these right-wing organizations are putting people of color front and center. Whenever you go to a Trump rally, you don't go to a Trump rally. When you see a Trump rally on television, because I doubt anyone here want to go to a Trump rally. When you see a Trump rally on television, you always see a prominent black person in the second or third row behind him with a big Black for Trump t-shirt on. That person has been buck broken politically, as far as I'm concerned. You got people like Candace Owens who come out and they speak against everything that people of African descent have been fighting. As far as I'm concerned, she has been buck broken politically and morally. I hear she's married to a white dude who's got a ton of money, so maybe that has something to do with it also. And now, apparently, a lot of these right-wing organizations that are trying to take the United States back to the point where we can no longer say we got it better than everyone else, because they're apparently trying to take us back to the model, the political models of places like Turkey with Erdogan or Brazil with Bolsonaro, which are right-wing, quasi-neo-fascist regimes, because that's where they're trying to take us back to. And a lot of these right-wing organizations are putting a black person in front of us or a Latina person in front of us. And they're trying to use that individual to help them push a fascist right-wing agenda. As far as I'm concerned, those people have been politically slash morally buck-broken. What we do about it, I don't know. I'm guessing a lot of that falls upon the people who are in this virtual room right now.
Okay. I appreciate that, sir. And Michael Thomas, I'm going to call you out this evening. Michael Thomas, can you unmute yourself, sir? Michael Thomas, you can unmute yourself, but Bill Gooden, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yeah, first, let me just say good evening to everybody and thank you for this opportunity. But, you know, when you're talking about butt dance, and I guess I need to say this, because I was listening to Cliff break it down, and he broke it down so eloquently. But, you know, I think in a lot of respects, all of us is being butt broken and don't even know it. And let me say why. You know, I've been saying to people, they have opened up stadiums where they got thousands and thousands of people out there hollering and cheering for their favorite team. You know, they open up schools. You go everywhere else, but you know where you can't go? You can't go to City Hall. You can't go to the Department of Water and pay your bill. You know what I'm saying? You can't go to these city and government agencies. Why is that? You know, if you could tell me you could open up all these stadiums where you got thousands of people, but you could close places where people need to go and do their business, man, that's absolutely mad. And if people do not stand up and demand that we're not going to tolerate what we pay for y'all to work and what we pay for y'all to open the doors, but y'all close down places to us in the name of COVID, but you got all these stadiums and all these other big venues open up, then you tell me they ain't breaking us down. Because if we allow that, then that's going to be how they setting up for the future. So in the future, you're going to have less access to your government officials and less access to go and make your complaints to where you pay your bills.
Wow. Yeah. That don't make sense at all. But Brother Leroy, coming to you, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Good evening, everyone. This topic, brother Cliff, you broke that thing down to just like an arithmetic fraction, and it was perfectly said when it comes to understanding the concept and the theory of buck breaking. It's done in different fashions, it's done in different ways, and I totally agree with you between the difference between Andrew Wiggins and for the Golden State Warriors, and Kyrie Irving for the New Jersey Nets. And here's the thing between the, and I get Wiggins probably understood. And here's the thing that I don't understand with everyone that talks about the, you know, getting the vaccination, or the ones that say that, or the anti-vaxxers say that there's not enough information that's out there. Have you talked to your physician? Have you talked to your doctor? Talk to your doctor. Don't talk to anybody else. Go to your doctor and ask those questions, those same questions that, or the questions that you may have, you know, because when you can have, when you get those answers, then you're able to, you know, to make that decision that you make. It's up to you whether you do it or not, but, you know, but the thing is, we have to understand that, you know, that choices have consequences, you know. Either way, choices have consequences. And even when it came to the buck breaking or the buck breaking, I'll throw someone in there that we haven't talked about when it comes to, like, the buck breaking, and that's Colin Kaepernick. If we want to keep it on that level, that was a form of buck breaking, because I looked at him, and when all of that went down with him, they were like, well, we're going to make an example of you to show these other athletes that we want to control what will happen to you if you don't fall in line. And so that was, I mean, that was even beyond the other things that have gone on in sports since then. To me, that was a big thing when it came to buck breaking and showing, hey, look, we're the ones that have the power. We're going to tell you what you can and can't do. And with your voice. And that's what, to me, what buck breaking tries to do. It's a taking your voice away from what it is that they know that they have to be held accountable for. But the thing that they don't count on are those of us who understand what the buck breaking is and say, you know what? Yeah, you may be able to break some of us, but there are a group of us together that understand what you're doing, and that we're gonna be banded together so that we become stronger. As you said, brother David, that you all became stronger when you all were together, and we have to understand that when we're together, we become stronger, and it makes it more difficult for them to do any of that buck breaking that goes on, or we can hold each other up when the buck breaking goes on.
And let me ask you, I'm going to ask some of the ladies on the call on this question. Because, you know, like I said, we like to keep it real. And sometimes you may not be conscious of, you may not be. But, you know, it all pays in the part of the propaganda. You know, I mentioned earlier that when young boys are raised up, we are told not to show our emotions, our feelings. And we are told that we have to man up, you know, we have to be the provider, you know, we have to be all of these different things. Then we go out into this world and we meet all of these opposition. And I know that old cliche, you know, that's just excuses, but it's real. But when you go out into the world as a black man, and this is, you know, I can only account for myself. I tell everybody this little story. I say I almost became a mass murderer. Because I was on this job, and I was the only African-American there. I had just came from out of, you know, I told you I was a teenage alcoholic. That lasted all the way up to the age of 27. Now, here I am fighting. I mean, serious, literally fighting for my life. This was life and death situation for me. I said I would never go back to my former way of life. And so I had to be humble and submissive. Not broken, just humble and submissive. They would do things on this job. I was doing 90% of the work in that whole department. And they would sit around, drink coffee, and laugh at me all day long. And I would take stuff on the job to read to keep my spirits up. But one day, the guy called me the N-word. And all of them years, what happened to my father, what happened to me over the years, in the communities and schools and everything else came to a head that day. And I almost set the place on fire, and I was going to burn the whole place. And that's when I had my first, what you call a real serious encounter with God that night. And I've been on a journey ever since then. But, you know, this thing I was leading up to was this. I could have gave in, gave up, but I had enough sense or enough fortune that I was seeking God, that God was seeking me at the time. And that's when my journey began. But a lot of men was not as fortunate. But they had the same opportunity, but they were not as fortunate. They, you know, like you say, Brother Leroy just said, every decision we make, there's consequences to them, you know, whether you like them or not. And so we go home. Now, I could have quit the job and this, that, but I was single at the time. So I didn't have a family, you know, that was dependent on me, anything like that. I was kind of self-sufficient, but I still had to take care of Bill. But I can imagine a lot of men who come home, because I'm going to be honest, I came home every day after reading the Bible. You know, I was reading, I didn't understand it at the time. And I was reading all these great books. Brother Leroy, I was reading all types of autobiographies. And I said, what they was going through back in them times was nowhere near what I was going through on this job. You know, so that kind of soothed me a little. But I still had to carry my own cross, so to speak. But I came home, I was so miserable. They had me beat up so mentally, because that's all I thought about when I came home. I was so angry, so bitter. And it took every fiber in my body to get up every morning to go back to that place. I literally had to fight myself to go back in there. And this went on for a couple of years. I mean, that was a battle. I mean, but for those men who said enough is enough, and they go home and give in and give up, and then they come home to a lady friend or wife or fiance, and they tell them, man, I ain't taking this no more, you know, and this, that, and then it's another battle that comes up. Battle in the home between the man and the woman. And oftentimes, I know people may not see it this way. This is my take on the thing. Everybody has an opinion. But a lot of women would get really upset with men because I don't think they fully understand what a man goes through sometimes mentally and, you know, and everything else when he's been beat up like that on the outside, then come home and get beat up again. You know, and he feel less than, and that's why I believe so many turn to other alternatives sometimes, and even to the point of hitting on his own woman sometimes. You know, I mean, they just get to that frustration point, but they don't know, they beat on the only thing they love, you know, and you know, they say you hurt the one you love sometimes. But a lot of times women see men as, you know, they see that as a weak vessel. I don't know if they measure the black man up to the white man, and even though the opportunity is not as equal, but, you know, a man can go as far as he wants if he's strong enough, if he's not able to be broken like that. But women, just ladies on the call.
I would like to say something.
Please do.
I could definitely speak to what you're talking about. I started working for myself at 24 years old. And that was in the 80s. I'm dating myself. But being in corporate America and prior to me working for myself, my mother was a placement counselor for the Department of Labor in New York. So she felt you need a 9-to-5 job and you should get your benefits and blah, blah, blah. I didn't buy into it. I had a job for maybe a year after college. And when I saw how they wanted to hold you back, I couldn't deal with it. So I was blessed because I had a mentor. My mentor was my accountant. He's now deceased. But he trained me and showed me how to do things for myself as a business. But in corporate America, I was teaching white, I have to be nice, our white counterparts computers and how to use them. And I was dealing with investment bankers. I was dealing with managing directors. And here comes this young black chick that knows her stuff, and they didn't like it. And I also had a computer business where I hired subcontractors to do the work. So some of them were Asian, some of them were white. Some of the clients that I got didn't even want to deal with me because I was black. So what I had to do was send my white workers out. They had to represent me. I didn't care if they even thought that they owned the company. That's how I had to get the business. So I can relate to the black man. And as a black woman, you don't beat each other up. You have to stick together. So that's why I said I could speak to this. we don't view the black man as soft. Because when you're struggling yourself, you are like-minded and you got to fight together. So that doesn't apply to every woman in every household. So you both have to be strong, and you got to be strong in our industry and for others. And I thank God, after 9/11, I switched careers. I got into mortgages. That's a whole nother topic. Our people have been whipped. God, I can't even get into words on that. Mm-hmm. Because it's a slave mentality. The slave mentality has carried throughout now, even today. People don't even think they're worthy of owning a home. And that's so far from the truth, and it's lack of knowledge. And that's where I come in with the education. I have done it through ministry, and I do it through any home buying workshop. And even if people mess up, you can still pick yourself up. And I tell people that all the time. Start from today. It doesn't matter what happens yesterday. Pick yourself up. Keep going. And we've done this through ministry.
All right. Fantastic. And speaking of that, Robin.
Hi.
Yes, let me ask you something, because y'all are doing something very unique, because, you know.
I wanted to speak about
here I am 70 years old, and my father, you know, generation to generation is going through the same type of thing that, you know, that keep being handed down to us because the system is still the same. But you come from a different, like I say, a different aspect, and I think it's so important because you have your company has a couple of comic books and this character called Kemet, and tell us the purpose of Kemet.
Well, first I want to bring greetings to you from Joe Young. One of the reasons he's not on tonight is because, as you can imagine, our schedule is extremely busy, and he's always got some kind of conflict. So I'm here tonight, but I'm really glad that I tuned in tonight. I was able to, for a change. One of the things that we believe in strongly in is, of course, is our youth. You know, so much relies on our youth and what's going to happen to us as a people. And a lot of that is tied into what happens with our young people and their minds. And one of the ways that we're trying to tackle exactly what you're talking about, the buck breaking, is through education. We are also involved with another project called BH365. And I don't know if any of you have heard about it, but it's a very comprehensive Black history book that is out. And one of the things that we're connected with is that organization, but primarily we're independent in terms of producing our own material to enlighten Black people, to enlighten our youth. We're trying to get to our young people. And we're trying to get to our young people through a new character that Joe has created called Kemet. And Kemet is a young Black 10-year-old boy from Africa. And what we do is we take you all the way back to slave days. And the first couple of comic books that's been produced so far actually deal with what happened to him, how he came over to the U.S., and how he ended up becoming, you know, part of the slave trade and becoming a slave himself. And then we took it into the imagination, which we know young people love, into an imaginary world where he created a time machine. But through that time machine, what happens is he gets introduced to all of these strong Black males and females from the beginning of our history here in the U.S. all the way up to today in time. And we're finding that so many Black children have no idea what the history is all about. And studying history books has not been the answer so far, also because of the fact that we haven't been given the truth in our history books anyway. But we do find that BH365 is one book that's out there that is trying to tell the truth. But Joe is also trying to tell the truth to the young people in a way where they can absorb the information, understand the information, and be entertained at the same time. And he'll talk to you a lot about what it was like when he was a child and why he had difficulties in learning the traditional way that they taught. And a lot of what he was able to absorb as a child was through comic books. And I think that's one of the reasons he actually became a cartoonist. And we find that our children actually love the comic books. And another thing we produce, and I'm hoping that most of the newspapers, we deliberately tried to get the activity sheets into as many Black newspapers as possible. We know everybody does not want to run it, but we're still tackling that, and we're trying to get them because we figure that's our first base. And if we can get our Black newspapers to start running it and to get it into the hands of our young people and get it into the hands of the adults, because as we work on these activity sheets, I'm learning a lot because I do a lot of the research. We're learning a lot as we go along. And to find out that we have so many strong Black males and females from the beginning of history is so enlightening. And we really believe that this is one way to help our race of people realize that we have resilience, we have stamina, we have intelligence, we have it all.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we are still here today and still surviving and thriving through all that we've gone through is a testament of our stamina, is a testament of who we are as a people. So if we can start turning the minds around of our young people, because one of the things that bothers us a great deal is all the Black-on-Black crime. I'm sure most of you are experiencing it in many of your cities as well as we are. Hartford, Bridgeport, all of our major cities are dealing with this Black-on-Black crime. As a matter of fact, this coming weekend, we are paying tribute to one of our Black leaders who has, I would say for the last 30 years, been a warrior fighting against crime, Black-on-Black crime, fighting, trying to help gang leaders. I think he knows all the gang leaders throughout the state of Connecticut, and they have a great deal of respect for him. And what we're doing is we're honoring him because he has been in the trenches doing things like this all of his life. And we are trying to turn these kids around, turn their minds around, make them realize that they have so much potential that needs not to go wasted. And one tool we're using is hopefully we're going to reach them through the comic books, through teaching them about their Black history in a way that it's enjoyable, hopefully. And that's our activity sheets. So if you can help us to continue to get that word out through the activity sheets, we appreciate it.
We definitely will. Don't be honest with you. I'm taking that on as a personal project because I see the importance of it. You know, reaching out to our children through your services. I mean, it's extremely important. But I appreciate you for your input, and I appreciate for the work that you're doing. Now, I'm going to bring you up to this couple here.
Okay.
Prophetess Smith and Pastor Bradford. Now, we talked about children. We talk about men. We talk about women. Now, let's talk about a couple. From y'all point of view, can you unmute yourselves?
How are you? Everyone?
Okay, there you go. Now, let me ask you something. On this subject of buck breaking and what's happening in the Black community, now you both, because I had the opportunity to speak to you on several occasions, and you work so well together, even on the phone, when you're talking to me, you work well together. So what is your suggestion to our listeners and to, you know, people who are going to look at this way as a couple, how do you suggest Black men, Black women deal with not only outside, but within as well?
That's a short and sweet question. The question is that we got to know who is our maker, who we came from, our origin. We got together in class. Didn't know him. He didn't know me. And the Holy Spirit was in me, said that was my husband. Me with an environment around me being successful. I said, why would you want me to be with that? We don't have this, we don't have that. He said, he got home. My father reprimanded me. He said, you have enough to share with everyone. It's not what he has on the outside, what he is on the inside. The being not sort of good in him, from the Lord, we have to work on the inner spirit We fighting with the flesh to be obedient to the spirit. Now we are fighting with the flesh to find out who is we through the pictures, the movies, the clothing. We got a lot of obstacles fighting against us, but we stay together by saying, did Jesus tell you that? And I said, no. I go and speak to my Father, our Father. He told me to be obedient to the spirit. Now we love from the spirit. We get in the gate with the flesh, and the flesh don't have no way with us because we stay in prayer. My ministry, the ministry that I had, 23, I wasn't able to read, but I was picked up the Bible, and I was taught from the Bible. That's God. I'm in the hospital working 23 years, working 16 hours, 3 different jobs. Never got sick, never took a vacation. I love helping. My gift allowed me to save people that I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a hot show or a coincidence. But it was a vital thing to do today. We as a father and mother, the man is the leader no matter how much he makes. We have to stay in tune to listen to each other. We have to just be quiet. We have to pray before we talk. And something go down, you have to walk away. You can't hit each other. Yes, a man cannot stand complete rhetoric bothering him, but we can stand up and deal with it word for word, but a man can't. He's the one thing in mind, let's do it or don't do it. I can't have it. But we can stand up because he was the first victim when we was in the old, what they call in slavery. They raped the woman. So they broke the man by that, but the woman made the man be strong by saying, hold it together, it's going to be okay. Our part today is the man has to start talking to his daughter, teaching her how to represent her as a virtuous woman, and vice versa with the son, and the man and the wife should come together and show that pattern of what they supposed to do in life. Teach in the Bible. Teach each other Bible, because that's our ammunition. If we don't have that, we have nothing. So we saying to you, I prayed about this day. Everything that you said, she said, he said, it was given to me. And I came to embrace it today, and I'm very proud and happy to be here. And each one of us has to multiply our gifts and stop murmuring it and do it. Support each other, as she said. Don't worry about, what is she going to do with the money? God has given us Philippians 4:19. He provides all I need. We have no reason to think about. We have a right to have a bank. We have the right to have a hospital. We have the right to have everything. And then we get up and say, all life matters. But we got to stop and help ourselves first to even to help others. We are menage. We don't help each other. Neighborhood, the next door neighbor may have a door broken down. We have our door fixed up. The other neighbor have her gate broken. And then I get a house appraisal. My house is just like the house that's broken down. If I don't look out for the east, I can't be raised up. They can't be raised up. We can't have nothing. So now you are raising this baby. You can't count the stars because you are Abraham. And I'm glad to be on this with everybody on here. We have to stop sitting down and multiply our course and do what we got to do because we all got gifts. Get out of the box. Take chances. Do what we got to acknowledge his power within the wisdom that we have. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Pastor Bradford.
She said so much, I don't think I got anything to say. No. Can you rephrase the question again, please?
No, I was just saying, when it comes to a couple, you know, like I said, we have enough issues on the jobs and the communities, but, you know, but when we come home to each other as man and woman, and we have to deal with each other, and then we have all our personal stuff going. I was just saying, how do you two hold it up like that?
Okay. Well, I can truly say it's truly by the grace of God who gives us the strength to know that we have came together because of God. And yes, we do have our issues, and I believe our issues come from the outward things that we battle on a daily basis from the outward people. Our main problem with each other is when we have to talk about what others aren't doing and what they're doing and how they should do it and why they should do it, and then we begin to argue among each other, bringing all that stuff from the outside into our home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I say we need to leave that outside the home where it belongs. If we're going to talk about it in the home, it should be that we'll be going to deal with that which is outside the home. So most of our problems come dealing with the issues of others. And then we begin to take on the pressure of maybe somebody sharing their issues with us. And sometimes the issue may not be an issue where they want help. It sometimes becomes a burden. So we start feeling the oppression. We start feeling the pressure from parents, from people who we've helped turn their back on us, people who we helped try to get us set up, try to get us killed. So many things happen that sometimes we bring that home with us. But I believe the best solution in how to deal with anything is communication. Without communication in a marriage, in a life, and just living life in itself, without communication, there's always going to be a breakdown. I never lived during the time of the butt breaking, but I lived during the time of the brown nosing, what we would call it today, where people have brown nosed to the point that they would turn against their own family member to get to the next level. Where I've been around, where I've worked with people my own color, and I was sharing this with my wife when we first got together, that I started hating my own color. Why did I start hurting my own color? Because when I worked for my own color, majority of the time, those were the ones that hurt me. They wouldn't pay me. They'll get me robbed. They'll do this. They'll set me up. I go to visit an area, and they set me up and take my jewelry, take my money. So I got to the point that I started hating my own face. And then when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he showed me a scripture back in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31. It says, envy not the oppressor, nor follow his way. So even when I went through the incarceration situation that I went through, I had to deal with the oppression of the people. But I learned that scripture, and it kept me focused on my goals, what I needed to do. And even now in this life I'm living now, even with my wife, I still have to always keep that in mind, that we don't have to let the oppressions of the outside, the things that's going on the outside. This is what sometimes happens to couples. There's a communication breakdown. Without communication, there is no real relationship. I mean, you can go to bed together. You can go to sleep together. You can wake up and go out together. You can do anything you want. But if there's no communication, there is no relationship in my book. Because communication to me is important in anything in life. Like right now, we're interacting. We're networking. We're communicating. We're learning each other. We're learning about what you can deal with, what you can't deal with, what you've been through, what I've been through, what she's been through, what he's been through, what our people are going through. And the communication has came to now, the telephone has taken control. I'm seeing people on the train, their own kids trying to talk to them. And they tell them, don't you see I'm on my phone? But mommy, don't you see I'm on my phone? The computers, there's no communication. It has been so broken even in a lot of churches. We go in, we come out. Oh, we had service. We go in, we come out. Hey, we have brother such and such died. Who was that? And it may be a small church, but because of the communication, it breaks down. So I believe we have to get back and bring the people back to communication. Remember back in the days we had the block association?
Yeah, yep.
If you could not come on that block, if you did not belong in that block without being stopped before you got to the first house on that block, somebody would stop you and say, listen, where you come from, who's your family, who you coming to visit, what are you doing here? Give me your background. You had to, it was like you were going through a police lineup before you got to the end of that block. And then when we used to fight each other on the block, we become friends and go eat pizza.
Yep.
Today, they want to shoot you. They want to kill you. So I believe we need to get back to communication. We need to get back to bringing out these programs that will get our children back involved, like hotscotch, Lingolivio, jump rope, and you know, bring these things back. I see the PAL has opened back up, but we need more of just the PAL. We need people with a mindset that is willing to do the work. We can talk all day, but if we ain't willing to put that work in,
right.
I mean, it has become now that we're afraid to talk to the children, afraid to talk to the people because of the way they carrying on. Sometimes all they need to do is hear. Somebody just, they want somebody to hear them. Most times they just want somebody to hear them, whether they talking trash or cash or drugs, hear them out. Then we can respond because just like you said earlier, most times even me, I grew up when my parents told me children are to be seen and not heard. I was sharing a story with Mariah and my wife that my mother told me one day. She said, somebody called on the telephone. And my mother told me to tell a person she wasn't home. You know what I did? I turned around and said, you know, my mother said she's not home. She said, why'd you say that? Because I said, this is what you told me. So sometimes children are being taught very early on how to lie, how not to communicate even to the parents. Children want to hear. Even wives want to hear. Husbands want to hear each other communicate. I believe that's the greatest breakdown in the whole entire world, even between black, white, Chinese, Jews. If we could just communicate, we might be able to get a little further.
And more of them.
I agree. I appreciate that. And that's what we're doing this evening. That's what we do. We communicate. And you brought back a lot of memories of my upbringing. You know, everybody knew everybody. You know, I knew, you know, all the parents knew all the children, and, mm-hmm. and not only in the block, a couple of blocks away, too. You mm-hmm. know, and, you know, everybody can come to each other. I'll sit down, have a meal. I don't care how much food, you know, less of the food, they made a way for you. Right. But, you know, a lot of those things, like you say, the social skills that we had, mm-hmm. All the little step games, we used to call them, red light and all of them things yeah. that we used to play up and down the streets, you know. But they were social skills. I mm-hmm. recall, man, it would take a miracle today to do this. I remember I used to come out the house with a baseball, a bat, and a glove. Just come out the house with it. Mm-hmm. Before you know, we had 18 young people ready to play some ball and had a couple mad with you because they couldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just that quick, wasn't organized, just come out the house and they just shoot, just like that. We go play. But in any case, today, wow. you know, everybody got that little third ear up there, whatever they call that thing, that cell phone, you know. And you can be right next to people, and they text each other. but in any case, you know, I want to thank everybody. Dr. Ortiz, Ms. Kathleen Murphy, Vernon, if y'all would like to share anything before we close out, this is the time to do. I know we go all over, but see, this is about communication. We control our time. See, we, you know, we're not kept by anyone. And so, you know, this is our show, and the same thing with the Black National Black Unity News. It's our publication. We put our own narrative in there. We are not censored or told what we can't or cannot do. But, you know, but any case, Kathleen Murphy, Vernon, or if y'all would like to share some parting words. Okay.
I'm just saying that I enjoyed the
Okay, you muted. Is this Ms. Murphy? Brother Satawi. But in any case, let me say this about tomorrow night, because I encourage you, especially you, Ms. Smith, Pastor Bradford, and if you can, Robin, to come on tomorrow night, you'll meet quite a few of our members of the National Black Unity News. This is where I want to share this with you. You know, Kathleen, she hosts the show. I think she's unmuted now. Can you give a little update what happened on the Tuesday night call, Ms. Murphy?
Yes.
I think you're kind of breaking up on us.
Yeah, she must be in a very bad spot because she's breaking up real bad.
Yeah, or even
let me move to another area.
Okay, just hit me back before we go off the air.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better.
Okay, I'm sorry. I enjoyed everyone's comments, and it was quite enlightening. On Tuesday night, we have the National Black Unity News Tuesday night call, where we actually have the editors and guests come on, and we introduce new editors. We go over upcoming events, and we just go over the schedule and input from Dr. Watiz and the editors and the David, the founder and publisher, and Mr. Gooden are always providing comments, and the managing director usually will have presentations where we talk about our products. And so it is an informative night, but we get to know each other. We bond, and that's what's so important and what works for us as a team. We really do bond when we do that. So Tuesday night is different than Monday night, but it's some of the same people, and we just tend to get together and learn what's going on with our paper.
And let me add a little bit more to this. Now, we talk about unity, communication, but let me say this. Now, I've been around, like I say, 70 years. I know some of you may be older, some of you may not be. But I've been out here for 40 years in the venue fighting for unity. And just into the last 2 or 3 years, I actually got a glimpse of it. You know, I've sat down with many organizations, businesses, services, networking groups. And we talk the talk, you know, but, you know, somehow we could never get it together. You know, it just breaks up some kind of way. But recently, I feel like Martin Luther King, you know, he'd been to the mountaintop, you know, and he saw, he had a vision. So have I. But after all these years, I finally seen a glimpse of unity, and that's through the National Black Unity News. I have never, ever met so many people who hearts are is so wide and so vast, who truly care about us as a people, who have expertise in so many different areas, but you know, and you know, they don't really know each other. You know, we just, everybody just goes to paper. It's been out about 4 or 5 years, and we all over the place. We're in all these different states and all this place, but after a short period of while, the members of the National Black Unity News act as if they have known each other all their lives. They share information with one another. They get off the phone and they do projects together. Somebody has a need, they write on it. I mean, you know, I'm talking about, and these, you know, I'm not talking about, these are not no lightweight people. These people have networks. These people have years of, now Kathleen Murphy just get out there, and that's my sister-in-law. And my brother, you know, they both retired military people. Now, I know she don't like this, but I like to brag on her, but she was a very high-ranking member. I think she was next to a general. I don't know if they were colonels or something. Were colonels or majors or something. She was up there. But then
I was a lieutenant colonel. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel, but I don't talk about it.
Yeah, I know. You know, but they don't talk about a lot of things. You know, yeah. But you know, they don't talk about
very much. Thank you.
They don't talk about a lot of things. But see, what she's heavily into, Rob, and guess what she's into? She's our youth editor as well, and she's into young people. She loves books and reading. That's what she does. She reads to children, and she goes around. And see, y'all too. See, that's why I say that. See, I'm a networker too. I can hook people up together. And Leroy, and he puts out books and, you know, help publish other people's books. And we do podcasts, and we're going to do a lot of things. I do commercial. I mean, we have a wealth of talent amongst ourselves, and only God could put something like this together. But I'm going to tell you what. See, that's why I encourage us. When I met you, Ms. Smith, and the Ruth Ministry, and everybody else, I say, you know what the most important thing about this paper, even though we reach multitudes of people around the nation and beyond, but the most powerful thing is the people behind the scenes. That's where the real magic comes in. Go ahead, Kathleen.
I was just going to say, I was late getting on this call because I was hosting a call where we're actually scheduling the readings scheduled for our volunteers for the whole year. And, you know, we go into the schools virtually right now and read. And so that's what I was doing. And we have a budget, and we have volunteers, and we target the second and third grade students, because as I have said 100 times to you all, that's the same group that the government targets when they're planning their prisons and when they're budgeting them for their new projects on new prisons. They look at the reading skills and levels of the second and third graders.
Can I say something briefly?
Sure.
The church I belong to is Greater Allen Cathedral, if you guys know Pastor Flake. In our ministries, they always talked about how the youth is targeted at a young two, three-year-old age because they are single-parent households. Those are the ones that are targeted for jail. And they're always going to pick on them and make sure that that's where they end up.
Well, I tell you one thing I already had in mind. Robin, your comic books, I'm going to order quite a few of them. And not only I'm going to give it out to all the editors so they can share it with their networks and let their families and people know about the children to get these comic books so that we can start reaching our children with some positive information. And as I recall as a child, we used to have tons of comics, but we used to trade them. You know, we used to do all, I mean, man, that was like money to us back in the day. And I remember how I used to sit, man, I wouldn't read anything. I used to read the comic strips every once in a while. We didn't have books in my house, you know, like libraries like I got now. We didn't have those type of things. But I would take a comic book and I would get in my little corner, just read. And that opened up the door just to your imagination and everything else. You know, it just takes you there. Or, you know, it would just take you places that young imagination would go there. But in any case, excuse me, y'all, I get so excited because you know, like I tell y'all, I'm a blessed man. And we have, and together, we are doing a lot of great and wonderful things. But, you know, I'm not going to hold you any longer. It's just that I preach. There it is. All right. I'm going to sit in my order tomorrow. There it is. All right. You muted.
I said, I'll tell Joe to be in touch with you. But
yes, please do.
One of our comic books, yeah. He's an awesome character.
Mm-hmm. Because let me just say this about what we are doing. And I hope y'all get the significance just in closing. See, you never know. I tell y'all, it's all the adults have been around. You will never, ever know the people that you are going to touch. They may never, ever come back and thank you or say, I've read your article or anything like that. But they will take your information. They can say, words don't come back void. And they will take your information. And you may, like I say, and I'm not exaggerating either, you probably most likely you even will save some lives. You will save people from losing their most prized possession, their houses and everything, with the information that you share. You, in ministry, you can go out there. Some people may be contemplating suicide and just about giving because some rough times of it. Just because the words that you, the encouraging words that you wrote, it's just that. And then you got people out here, man, that won't do this and won't do that because Brother Cripp, people like Brother Cripp that would have give you something to think about. You need to think about it both ways. Just start going, you know, just taking information and just jumping on it and make it factual without doing any research on it. And we have Brother Leroy, what we call our section?
The author showcase.
Yeah, author showcase. See, I'm getting up there. And we have showcased so many authors. And that's another powerful tool because there's so much information that has been assimilated just through his section alone. And so, like I say, God has put us in a place, man, of power, and we just getting started. We just coming off the block. We haven't even started yet, and yet we are already the number one black circulated newspaper in the nation. And, you know, it's not. Listen, I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm just showing what God can do. Do a seventh grade dropout. I'm just showing what you know and the missing. But I can say it's not what they say, and it's not all the time even what you say all the time. But you know, I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same person I was last year. I'm always evolving. My mindset is always going this way and that way. It expands. And the way I felt yesterday is not the way I feel today. And the mission I was on yesterday is not the same one I'm on today. I've already traveled those roads. And new doors are opening up. And my steps are ordered. I understand most of y'all know what I mean when I say that my steps are ordered. You was brought here not by your choice all the time either. Your steps are ordered as well. We are brought together for a reason, especially in this season. People are hurting. People don't know. It's a new world order is taking over. I'm talking when you see that life ain't never going to come back the way it used to be. And people don't know what they do. They're losing jobs. This world been turned upside down. And for such a time as this, I believe God has raised people up like you to come together, especially in the black community, because we getting so much misinformation. People are lying, even our own people, we already know, are using us and abusing us, taking advantage of us, misleading us, misguiding us. But it's up to us, because we come to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm coming to you with honesty and truth, as I believe. And I highlight people who I know who wants to help other people. There's no doubt in my mind about you. And so, again, I just want to thank each and every one of you being on it. This is a special place that's going to alter people's lives, because it already has. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I do know one thing. Together, we will make an impact. We're coming from all different types of angles. So it won't be any more excuses for a person to say, this cannot be done, or nobody's here to help me, or anything like that. But it's up to us. It's not just David Murphy, Bill Good. It's up to all of us to share this good news with other people. Because not only, because each, every time one of y'all go out there and promote the National Black Unity News, you carry the whole team with you. And vice versa. Every time you go out there, if I go out there, Cliff go out there, that means we're carrying you as well. We can get into places where you can't go and vice versa. But collectively, we are going places, like I said, we don't know. But I do know one thing. I don't know what you knew what you were getting into, but I'm going to tell you this. Your world going to be altered as well. And by being associated with this publication. You're gonna meet people, you're gonna go places, and you're gonna be introduced to a lot of new things, and your world going to expand as well. And when we start doing these podcastings and the directories and everything else that we're doing, and all I can say is it's the journey, and I'm loving this journey that we're on, because like I said, it's an honor and a privilege meeting people like you all. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna bid you all good night. And if you can, extremely important that you can get on the call tomorrow night. This is where the true magic starts, yeah. Where you get to meet the players behind this publication. You get to penetrate their hearts, their thoughts, and everything else, because it's gonna be on display, and you're gonna begin to see what I see. You're going to see how, you know, like you say, you know, for fun, you can be around people not trying to hurt you, harm, or take from you. Everybody's bringing something to the table. Every last one of you right now, you can already see that. Everybody has something to put on this table that all of us can feast upon. And most important is the table that we are providing is feeding the whole world. It can feed all of our people. And I appreciate you for that. You know, it's an honor and privilege, because you would call, that old saying is, many are called, but few are chosen. Even the chosen one, only a few will go. And y'all are the ones who took that extra step and stepped out on faith. And all I can say is thank you. And I'm going to bid you a pleasant good night. Take care of yourselves.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. David, one question.
Good night and God bless.
Okay, go ahead. Who's that?
It's Robina.
Oh, yes.
It's the same Zoom link for tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, we send that out. We'll send that out tomorrow. I'm going to tell you why. Okay. We don't send things out too early is because, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with this. You know, on Zoom, they call it a thing called bombing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that when other people penetrate it and then they start doing all kinds of unsavory things, that's why we don't have that many people on here. It's about an invitation kind of thing. I just send out to special people. Because if we put it out into the world, be hundreds of people on here. But mm-hmm. then you would have those elements on the Zoom call be doing all kinds of crazy stuff, saying all kinds of crazy things. And
We've had that happen. That's why I know. We've had to limit it and make sure that you have a code to put in.
Right.
Yes, it is limited. And David, I hate to say this, but I sent it out just now because tomorrow Mr. Murphy has several doctor appointments, and I did not want to be on the road trying to get that done. So I did just send it out, but you know it is restricted. We have to, I have it so that we have to let you in. So,
Yeah, but so, you know, so we'll send it out to each and every one. All of you will be invited because you're part of the family now. And so, you know, you every time we have a podcast, you will be invited to it. Okay. And just keep in mind, too, you know, on Wednesday night, we are going to be every 2 weeks now. But we're starting a series of podcasts. I just want to inform you now before we go off air. If you ever had a desire to expand your territory with your own show, it won't be like this. This is a live, this thing like this, but the type of podcasting we talking, we got Vernon on, he got his own TV stage. We actually going to put it together like a TV show. Even going to have commercials. We even going to have commercials in it. We got a whole team of us. It's already about 14 of us that's going to be doing it. And we share. It ain't about just about you all the time, but we put commercials on your show about the other podcasts, and they promote your show and you promote theirs. That's how you increase your listening audience. But not only that, I'm going to tell you something. A podcast is, you know, whatever you're going, I'm going to use you, Ms. Smith. So say, for instance, if you wanted to reach out to certain commercial real estate agencies or organizations around the country, most of the time you have to go to them, make an appointment with them to set up something, talk to them. With your own podcast, when you're doing it, they come to you.
Oh, my God.
Because all of them want to promote what they're doing. So all you have to send them, they want to be on your show to talk about what they do. But once they do that, you form a relationship with them, get to talk. They get to know who you are, what you do. So next time they do something, they're going to invite you out and stuff like that. And so everybody, you don't chase people. They be chasing you from this point on. But not only that, you will have an army of us out there promoting you. And we have the newspaper, the podcast, and everything interrelated. And so it's a powerful thing. And Robin, I had already planned to insert Kemet and a lot of these podcasts. So they're going to, you know about Kemet as well. And stuff like this is how we continue to support one another. And like I say, I'm about to bust here. I'm 70 years old. I feel like I'm just getting out of high school. I got so much to do, so many places to go. But it's work. It's a good work. It's a necessary work. And it's a needed work because our people need us right now. I'm talking about our people need us so bad. And this I do. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all already know it. Y'all know what time it is. Each one of you has expressed all these things your own selves. That's why you do the things that you do. But now can you imagine you don't have to go this road alone anymore? You have a team, a family member. That's what it's going to be like. When you keep coming back, especially on Tuesday nights, you're going to be in that family atmosphere. You're going to feel the love. And I'm going to say this and shut my mouth up. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I've been publishing for over 40 years. And I had a lot of people pat me on the back. It's okay, this, that, and this, that. But for the first time in my life in publishing, people come up to me and pick up the National Black Unity News and tell me, I love this publication. I love it. And you know why they love it? Because the people who put their information in there is full of love. And it's permeated off the pages now. They can feel it. They can just, every article they pick up and read, it's somebody giving from here. And y'all, you all will be doing the same thing as well. And so, good night, y'all. Let me shut up because I'll be talking all night long. All right, good night. Thanks a lot, Brother Cliff. Much love and respect to always. Thank you. All right, take care. All
right, good night, David.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. All
right. Goodbye.
Let's close out with our theme song. It's my time.
Oh, there's a feeling inside of me telling me that I can be more and more of who I am. It's
Okay, good night, everybody, and hope you enjoyed the nice podcast, and you can give us feedback. You can email me at babajahi17@gmail.com and let me know what you think about the podcasts that we as we do here on Home Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. All right, thank you. Have a good night, and catch you next week.